What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Thursday's episode of All Canadian. We are post-draft here. Wade and I are freaking tired, but we had a hell of a night last night with the Twitch live stream. I hope everybody enjoyed that. You can go back and watch it if you really want to. If you missed the draft, if you missed our analysis, the Twitch live stream is still up over on Twitch at CF Perspective on Twitch. We have got some post-draft recap stuff coming up. Before we get into it, though, just want to take a second to remind our listeners, Sawdust City Brewing Company offers brewery fresh beer delivered directly to your door. Visit their website at sawdustcitybeer.com to shop their YA. CFP listeners are getting an exclusive promo code. Use CFP, all caps, CFP, during checkout to receive free shipping on all orders over $100. Shipping is available to Ontario residents only. Must be legal drinking age. As soon as I can get another order in, I'm getting my hands on that brand new Patio Sangria IPA that Sawdust previewed today. I'm super excited to try that.
Absolutely. And we would also like to take a minute to remind our listeners that the Canadian Football Perspective Podcast Network is brought to you by our friends at Fox 40, who are helping you return to play safely with their close vicinity whistle line. You can get the tri-layer whistle mask, the whistle gator, and much more. Visit fox40shop.com and enter the code CFP15 for 15% off all your whistle needs.
Just before we do start breaking down the draft stuff too, I want to give a quick shout out to Nick McVicker, who absolutely crushed the behind-the-scenes production for our Twitch stream. So, Nick, thank you so much, dude. That was huge. Bigger than you absolutely know. The Twitch stream looked incredible. So, thank you so much to our dude, Nick McVicker, on the back end for that.
Absolutely. And also, thank you to Scott Hasty, who handled the social media aspect of CF Perspective for the night. Absolutely great job by him. Even the long snapper graphic thrown in there at the end. But thank you so much to Nick, like Connor said. None of that show goes on without you being so smooth behind the being the guy in the chair, really. We'll throw it to that. But all right, here we go. Quick recap. First off, first pick that shocked you. First one that you want to talk about, where do you want to go with this?
Well, I mean, if we're talking first pick that shocked me, what about the literal first pick that shocked me? Jake Burt, the tight end from Boston College, going one overall. What? Who saw that coming?
I will say, whenever I saw the picture today of the whole family and Jake Burt and his agent holding up the jersey was more centered over the agent, so it looked like he was the one that was actually being dropped. I don't know. It just seemed weird to me. But no, Jake Burt, I mean, he's a guy that was in an NFL training camp, so he's clearly got athletic ability coming out at the ends. But for Hamilton, I think it was just like, I said it live on air. I said, what about Nikola Kalinic? Like, to me, that, I know Marsh mentioned that he could be split out and played in the number two, but like, he's 260 pounds. Like, that's a lot to bring for a guy that size out wide. So who knows what their plans are for either of those guys, but they think they got the best player available and someone that's going to come up and contribute right away.
And I think that's what it comes down to, really. I mean, they got somebody that they want to come in and contribute right away. Jake Burt does that for them. He's going to be able to jump onto that Hamilton Tiger Cats roster. He's not going to be, I mean, when we talk about CFL draft, one of the things that, you know, comes to mind often is you're drafting futures, and that's not what Jake Burt is with the first overall pick. You picked a guy that's coming in right now, and he's going to make an impact right now on your roster. It's just a matter of where and how, I think.
And one guy that was selected later on in the first round that doesn't have much question as to how he's going to impact a roster, that is the University of Alberta Golden Bears' very own Cole Nelson. The 6'6" defensive tackle got selected fifth overall to the Edmonton football team, or the Elk. Another chance to plug Connor's favorite. But Cole Nelson is the kind of guy that you can split as a one tech, three tech, five tech, and he's going to disrupt players. He's going to suck in double teams and draw attention. When you look at his stats, you may not see a whole lot, but when you put the tape on, he's a force. And this guy's a freak athlete. that did not get a whole lot of love until his pro day numbers came out. But he clearly was high on the boards for teams this entire time.
Yeah, we kind of got tipped off, right? It was kind of like, hey, you guys should seriously look at Cole Nelson here. And after we did, we were like, oh, shoot. Yeah, we definitely should have been a little higher on this guy. But, man, teams didn't miss. The Edmonton Elks certainly didn't miss with Cole Nelson at five here. He's going to free up Mathieu Betts and Kwaku Boateng on the outside. Plug and play, three tech, five tech, like you said. Cole Nelson, 6'6", big body, going to come in and just eat double and triple teams for the Edmonton football team.
We're going to keep it in province for our next little section. One area of the draft that seemed to be a big bright spot for U Sports football, not only did we have 31 out of 54, and that 31 does include Dean Leonard and Shea Weeks, who transferred to the NCAA, but the 31 U Sports players selected, six from the reigning Vanier Cup champion, Calgary Dinos. Yes, they were spread all over the place, far and wide, but the Calgary Dinos doubled the next closest team to them. Absolute fantastic job by Coach Harris and the Dinos program for pumping these guys into.
Staying on the Dinos for just a second here, did anybody see Peter Nicastro being the first Dino off the board? Like, we had Logan Bandy all year long.
Mm-hmm. This the Nicastro pick was interesting, but at the same time, we saw Toronto last year take a swing with Theron Churchill, and after, like, that seems like it's going to work out for them once they get him into camp with his frame. So maybe they see the similar thing with Nicastro. I think it's a pick that you're really projecting based off of his testing results that you can coach him into being one of the best Canadian offensive linemen.
And then from that, I mean, Grant McDonald, the next Calgary Dino taken. Following Grant McDonald, it was Charlie Moore, linebackers back-to-back. And then we get Logan Bandy at 38. So Logan Bandy, our highly rated offensive line prospect in the entire draft coming from Calgary, goes at 38. But Charlie Moore and Grant McDonald, let's stop and talk about those guys for a little bit, because those are two very special linebackers. You talk about Grant McDonald, the dude is 6'3", 220. And then Charlie Moore, 6'3", 215. Talk about two special linebackers coming out of the same program.
Yeah, and I think I saw a tweet from Adam Sinagra last night. Kind of said, I don't understand how Grant McDonald went beyond the first round. And quite truthfully, I think he is a first-round talent, but when you have the guys in front of him that you do, like you have the Eamon Ogbonigbo went in the first round, Nick Cross, Deshaun Stevens, like those are three top-end talents. Grant is right behind them in that. So, yeah, he got out of the first round, but it's not because of his own play. It was just because of the guys in front of him and their skill set as well. So Grant brings a lot to the table that some guys aren't able to. But at the same token, there's a lot of other things or other guys that can do certain things better than him. So I'm excited for Grant McDonald. I think Edmonton's a great spot for him to land, regardless of it being in the second round or not. So I'm excited for Grant.
Do I have to get a Grant McDonald Edmonton Elk jersey now? Is that where I got to go?
I don't know. I know you got lots of picks here. you easily could. That would be a great pickup. I was hoping you'd say, do I get a Charlie Moore cowboy hat there? I know he's always rocking one, it seems. But with Charlie Moore, we're also getting a great player who can go sideline to sideline, absolutely thump. He's going to be staying in Calgary, familiar stadium, familiar parking lot. Cowboy hat can stay as it fits with the team logo and the city very well. So very excited for the Dinos as a whole there. Once again, getting six players, if you include Dean Leonard, drafted.
My favorite thing that you said last night in the draft was, we were talking about the Vanier, we were talking about Charlie Moore, and you said that, like, Charlie Moore had that, for anybody who doesn't know, Charlie Moore had that pretty gruesome injury early on in the Vanier Cup, but Wade was saying, as soon as he saw Charlie Moore come back to the sidelines wearing a cowboy hat, it was game over. Calgary ball game.
Absolutely. The cowboy hat, I mean, you can see the picture online. He's got the winter, like, sideline warmer and then just the cowboy hat on top. It looks awesome.
And he had the eye black drag. Let's not forget that. You always got to drag your eye black. You kidding me?
Absolutely. Great job for Charlie Moore to get drafted as well. 26 overall. It's a great spot for him. Next on the list, though, we're going to go to the Ottawa Redblacks, who started off the draft on fire. They were taking guys left, right, and center. Deshaun Stevens, Alonzo Adai, Connor Bergloff. And then I think the five-hour energy wore off for the Ottawa Redblacks because they went kicker-punter, even though they have Lewis Ward and Richie Leone. Then they went long snapper, and then they went back to an offensive lineman, but it was the sixth round, so people weren't really paying attention to them by that point. Kind of a tale of two halves, really, with the Redblacks. What do you make of it?
I really loved how the Redblacks started this draft, and I said it on air when we were on the Twitch stream, too. I mean, you come out of the gate hot. You get Deshaun Stevens, who is arguably behind Eamon Ogbonmamiga. He was our favorite linebacker in this draft. He was drafted as the number one linebacker in this draft. In the second round, you come out hot again. You get a stud DB and a guy like Alonzo Adai. Third round pops up. Bang. You go take absolute monster. And then you kind of blow all your tires into the back end of the draft. Jake Julian, the Eastern Michigan kicker punter. It's not even David Cote. I mean, if you're going to go that position, you don't go David Cote. I was sitting there scratching my head. And then you come out in the following round, round five, you go Keegan Markgraff, long snapper. I know that
futures snappers
are an important position in football and they're hard to come by. He's going back to Utah. You spent a future on a long snapper. You could have given this guy a contract post-draft, and you spent a pick on him.
Yep.
Maybe Chuba Hubbard was on the board.
Maybe it was one of those things where, you know, they want to give the future pick just so that he can't get into the undrafted free agency, but you still had a sixth-round pick. Like, you – I don't think anyone from 43 through to 48 were looking at a long snapper considering the players that went. I mean, we're talking Chuba Hubbard, Luther Hakunavanu, David Cote, Ethan McConzo, Josh Haggerty, Shea Weeks. I don't see any real threat of those guys being replaced by a long snapper, especially a futures pick at long snapper. To me, for Ottawa, like, you could have gone and grabbed a Shea Weeks or a Josh Haggerty at that spot, still doubled back and got your long snapper in the sixth round. So, big question mark for me.
Speaking of Shea Weeks, though, how about the draft that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers quietly had? Not like they needed it, but they went Liam Dobson, third overall, the massive offensive lineman. Let the belly breathe, as Wade would say, from the University of Maine, now University of Texas, or now Texas Southern. Then in the second round, University of Maine, now Texas State offensive lineman. Then in the second round, you go, my guy, Retta Cramdy from Montreal. Third round, double down on DB, Patrice Rene, the Rutgers lengthy DB. At 34 overall, you get a hell of a player in Robbie Lowes, the linebacker from Regina. 39, you go get Kyle Borsa, the yoked up running back. And at 48, you take Shea Weeks, the shutdown DB from Manitoba, now Bemidji State. So Winnipeg didn't need a draft like that, but damn, did they go out and have a day.
Yeah, and a lot of these picks are guys that you may get a future in Liam Dobson, you may get a future in Shea Weeks, depending on what he does in Patrice Rene, but it's looking like those guys are coming back to you. Patrice Rene might not, but it's looking like the other ones are going to be coming back, and you're getting extreme value for those guys. I was excited to see them have that kind of draft. It's very promising for them. So,
Before we move on, what do you make of Liam Dobson being the first offensive lineman off the board, though?
I think Marsh nailed it with their run scheme and their play style. It's kind of the attitude and the go after it kind of player they want. Dobson brings a strength that's just going to bully people. And if you can use that on the interior of your offensive line, keep building a national core, I think it's going to help you even more down the road. So I was all right with it. I think he's a great guy. It's just we had a couple players that were a bit like bigger in build, but he carries the weight pretty effortlessly. What I was going to get to, though, another team that had a great draft, the BC Lions. We're going to go top end here. They get Daniel Joseph, pure pass rusher. It's futures pick. Then they go Larrick Jackson from Iowa, who, you know, at 15, we were kind of down on him. But at 15, you're going to get some decent value there. Ben Hladik, the guy from their own backyard at 22. You turn it around in the fifth round with Alfred Green, and then you pick up Tyler Packer, the big road grader on the inside. So they kind of, any picks that they had that are question marks, they doubled down in the later rounds with pretty safe guys. Like if Alaric doesn't work, well, you have Tyler Packer, who's going to bully people on the interior of your offensive line. And if, you know, Daniel Joseph goes and never comes back, you have a pretty good player and a very good athlete in Alfred Green coming in at 40 as well. So I think they took big swings and then they backed it up with very solid players, kind of balancing out their risks. So I thought they did a great job in the draft.
And we had Ben Hladik going to BC, not at 22 like you did. We had Ben Hladik going to BC at 4. Ben Hladik slid a little bit. We were watching the draft, following along with the draft, and I think like every other pick we were going, is it Ben? Is it Ben? Is it Ben? It wasn't. Finally, Ben ends up in BC at 22. What do you make of the fit with Ben Hladik in BC? Because I personally love it.
I think it's something that teams were maybe concerned about, how his height and his leverage when he plays is going to translate. I'm not too worried about that. He showed the pure athleticism to kind of overcome that. So I'm glad they got him at 22. I think it's great value for them. Play wise though, I think he's going to slide in. It's a team that needs a lot of help on defense, and I think he can be an early contributor to that. Coming from 22nd overall, it's a pretty good draft pick.
And at 22, the value of that pick, if he does pan out, you spent a third rounder on a guy that was largely projected to go in the first round. I know we had him there, but we weren't the only ones either.
No, and he might have just been a product of pre-draft hype, that everyone was just kind of falling in love with his combine numbers. So you never know.
Out for that. A guy like Jordan Williams, though, who ended up going first overall.
Yeah, it did pan out for that. But I think with Jordan Williams, you saw like a next level of speed, whereas Ben, you just kind of saw top end speed. You didn't see very rare speed. So I think that's where the kind of difference separates the two. And with that, we're going to kind of take a bit to do some thinking. We saw three wide receivers go in the draft this year. Terrell Janna, Tommy Neild, and Luther Hakunavanu from York. With that, that's kind of a low number compared to years gone by. I mean, last year we saw Dejon Brissett go at the very top of the draft. This year we don't see a receiver go until number 17 overall. So what was with the receiver class this year? Was it just a bit less talented overall, or was it just so many other positional values and players just shot above the board, kind of pushing the receiver core to the bottom?
I think this year for me, I mean, yes, there was some talented receivers in there, but you know, we saw Josh Palmer go. See you later. See you never. The next guy up was Terrell Janna, who a lot of first round. He was the year of the linebacker this year. The athletic linebackers went, and they went in bunches. So, yeah, I mean, there was some good wide receivers, but I think there was more needs across the board for teams other than wide receiver. And even still, when you look at the teams that took a wide receiver, I mean, Saskatchewan, really, did they need Terrell Janna? Not necessarily, but it's going to help them out if he does develop the way that, you know, he could. A player like Dominic Johnson, the two-sport athlete from Buffalo going to Edmonton, I think Edmonton could use some pass catchers, and they got one in Dominic Johnson. But other than that, I mean, guys like DSP, Dylan St. Pierre out of Ottawa, we didn't see go. We didn't see a guy like Will Corby go. We didn't see Glodon Mullaly go. So I think that them not going was just a product of teams needing some defensive help this year, and it really truly being the year of the linebacker.
Agreed. I think the shorter draft also helps in that some guys might have just missed the cusp. We don't know what we would have saw in round 7 or 8. Maybe teams that took swings on Chuba Hubbard and Ben St. Juste don't take those swings because they have two more rounds and they draft other players. So on that note, we would once again just like to thank everyone that did tune into the stream. Another theme we saw, though, and it continued in the undrafted free agent pool, the Montreal Alouettes sticking it with Quebec. We saw this play out last night. Pierre-Olivier Lestage gone first to the Owls. Then they went back-to-back O-line, which kind of got away from their theory. But then they go David Côté, Ethan McConzo to close out their selections. And then they went and got two Laval prospects right away in undrafted free agency and kind of nabbed those guys up. The two picks they didn't use immediately went and signed two guys just so they had the even number there.
Yeah, and they picked up Keen Harlemana and Matthew Robitaille from Laval. It's Robitaille, right?
Yep.
Two great players. And again, you know, we talked about Keen Harlemana on the draft last night. Teams were scared of his kind of the nature of his position. What is he? Is he a DB? Is he a linebacker? He's kind of that tweener position. However, a guy like Danny Machocha, who has seen the All-Canadian Keelan Harlemana for the past, 4 or 5 years in the RSEQ, knows what he is getting. And I think if anybody's going to take a shot on a tweener player like that, it's going to be Machocha, who is familiar with his skill set and his traits. And right away, I mean, when you think of Keelan Harlemana, it's not that he's going to fit in and be a linebacker right away. It's how and where are we going to use this guy on specials?
I agree on that one, but Danny Machocha also went back to his good old Carabin. He did take two guys from there to go along with Marc-Antoine Decois from last year. So he's definitely building a strong French-born team out of Montreal. I'm excited for that, and I'm excited for the fan base. So I think that is all we have for you guys. We are going to get more into this next week as we can kind of look at the players more and the fits with the rosters. We did just kind of want to give you guys a quick episode as it is All-Canadian Thursdays, but we just wanted to give you guys a quick episode to enjoy and push you over until Friday with Marsh and Mello. So as always, you know where to find us, at Connor R. O'Neill, at Wade Zank, at CF Perspective. Thank you once again to Nick McVicker for producing the show. And if you guys want to check it out, you can go back to our Twitch channel, watch it in its entirety if you want to sit through us rambling for that long, if you're not sick and tired of our voices by then. But as always,
huge ups to Scott Hasty too for doing those graphics all night on Twitter. That was awesome. They looked great. So Nick and Scott, guys on the back end that just, man, first round picks in our books.
Always going to be, there will be some beer going to them as well. That's how we operate with our currency here at CFP. It is beer mainly. So take care, everyone. As always, the Canadian Football Perspective podcast is brought to you by our friends at Sawdust City Brewing Company, who deliver brewery fresh beer to your door. This May, our CFP listeners get the extended promotion where if they spend over $100 and enter the code CFP at checkout, you get free shipping on your order. This applies to Ontario residents only. It must be of legal drinking age. And on that, we are also going to thank our friends at Bet99. All Canadian is sponsored by them as well. So every game does start at Bet99. We are responsible gambling, available to Canadian residents only. If you sign up with the code CFP at on sign up, you can get 100% of your initial deposit matched up to $600. So go ahead and check that out. That's Bet99. We are responsible gambling.
Those plus 900 odds on the Alouettes after this draft are looking even better. Love it. And just before we sign off, though, the Canadian Football Perspective Podcast Network is brought to you by our friends at Fox Lee with the electronic whistle and the whistle gator. To check out all these products and more, visit fox40shop.com. Enter the code CFP15, all caps, at checkout for 15% off all your Fox 40 product needs, helping you return to play safely. We are safely getting the return of CFL football. The draft kicks off the season. We are super excited to get into some CFL football, start analyzing how these draft classes are going to impact their teams. That is all going to be coming up next week. Wade and I just wanted to get a quick one out following the Twitch stream, following the draft, because we have a lot to talk about. The draft was a lot of fun. We're super tired. We will catch you guys next week.
Take care.